Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Octavia Fleck and Christina Swanson. These folks are doing Morehead State University School of Creative Arts' newest production, the first live in-person performance of the theatrical season. They're doing Lucy Kirkwood's Mosquitoes. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the show. I know very little about it. It's called Mosquitoes, and it's playing Thursday through Saturday this week and next week at 7:30 p.m., and then on Sundays at 2 p.m. It's the first in-person inside show since the pandemic began. So it's kind of moving back towards normal. Tell us a little bit about how the decision was made to do it inside and to proceed with this show and some of the things that are kind of different because of the pandemic.
Well, it was very exciting to have an opportunity to do a main stage show at this point in the pandemic. Because last year when we did Treasure Island, we chose to do it outside. And so this year, as things relaxed a little bit in the summer, I felt like I was going to be able to move forward with the show. But then, of course, things shifted a little bit. And unfortunately, I had already bought the rights to do this show. And this show, unlike some of the others that are out there right now, did not offer a virtual royalty package. So I was not going to be able to do this show virtually at all. That wasn't even going to be an option. So that kind of set the pace as to we have to move forward with doing this in person. And the first show of the season, Mindflowers, was a virtual show. So this is kind of exciting that we have had to move forward with doing a live performance. So we have worked with masks, and the audience will be asked to have masks on when they enter the space. But of course, there's a mask mandate on campus, so we're just following those guidelines.
Now, the show Mosquitoes, again, I don't know much about it. I have never heard of this show before. I saw the poster up on campus and in the community. And so tell us a little bit about the plot of the show. What's it about?
Well, that's a tricky.
It's not a trick question.
So the show is, it deals a lot with the humanistic emotions and connections that humans have, especially in family dynamics. And it parallels with the idea of the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva at the CERN. So in 2008, there was the LHC was developed. It took about 11 years to develop the concept of the God particle and how to locate that particle. And so they spent a lot of time building this underground piece of machinery that it circles the entire CERN and most of Geneva underground. And so the concept of the collider and humanistic emotions and connections kind of run parallel to each other. It's like a balance between sentimentality and cynicism.
Very much so.
and the play is extremely funny, and then suddenly it is not. It's very dark. It deals with a lot of heavy, controversial topics that our society has been navigating. Maybe I can say navigating over the past, well, many, many years. And it's a new play. So it's kind of interesting that it was written before COVID, but it has a lot of the topics of conversation in the show deal with some of the issues that we as a society and a world have been dealing with at this time in our life during the pandemic.
Yeah, it really plays up the idea and the concepts of what is our place and what is the combination between a scientific, statistically driven human being or statistically driven choices, and then those human choices. And how do you find that middle ground? And it really explores that concept of how do you find the middle ground when you have, let's say, a family, as we do, that are completely opposites, which happen in a lot of families. You know, you have that family member that is statistically driven and is numbers driven and is factual driven. And then you have the human, the other human in the room is more humanity driven, emotional driven. And so it plays up that concept on top of playing up the concept of the God particle and science. And is science clean and wonderful, or is there a little darkness in it? So,
well, and one of the things that I really love about this show, out of the four main characters in the show, three of them are women, and it is a mother and her two daughters. And what I really enjoy, because I think this is an age old, well, you know, probably since the 50s and 60s, you know, when women started stepping out of the house and becoming career driven women, and then having to also find that balance between being career driven and being the mother of a household and raising children. And how do you balance that? You know, because we've been told, you know, you can have it all. And it's hard to do that. You know, at some point, one or the other is going to not get the attention. So, you know, the mother in the family is, you know, was close to winning a Nobel Peace Prize. Her husband actually did win the Nobel Peace Prize. She was his partner in that discovery. And then she has a daughter that is following in her footsteps with the creation of the LHC. And then you have the other daughter who is just kind of flies by the seat of her pants.
She's just a regular human. There is no, she is much more humanistic and emotional driven than the other. And this huge dichotomy between the two of them is just, it's explosive.
Yeah.
So it's a small cast then, like just four people, or are there more than four?
No, there are 10 in the cast. There are four predominantly main characters. And then there's a fifth, the daughter who is also a scientist, has a love relationship in the show. And so he is part of the storyline. And then there are a handful of ensemble characters that help drive the show. So we have, I've kind of put these, anyone who has seen one of my shows kind of knows how I like to step outside of my comfort zone and explore movement and how movement relates to acting. And so there are some fun and interesting to watch transitions and movement pieces that I've kind of placed in the show to help drive that sub story or that subtext that's happening in the story.
The directors used a very classical, like Greek classic tragedy comedy concepts of having a chorus and having that Greek chorus there, which I think helps guide the audience for their emotions and the either seriousness or not so serious scenes of the play, to allow them to understand how to emotionally be involved in that scene, because the text is extremely heavy and it's extremely chatter driven. So there's a lot of fragmented sentences and fragmented thoughts and these types of things, which we all have in our life. Unless you're doing an interview or unless you're doing a formal talk, we talk in chatter. Mm-hmm. And so with the idea of the Greek chorus being brought in, she's allowed the audience to have an opportunity to know what the emotion needs to be, because some sections are extremely hard, because even in tech rehearsals right now that we're finding out, there are scenes where now that we're bringing in technicians and they're watching the show and helping us run the show and helping us guide the show, they're laughing at things that we never once found funny. And so we are exploring with them that, so why did you think this was funny? And then we find out it's not funny.
It's a
defense mechanism. I didn't know what to feel.
Uncomfortable moment.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So the Greek chorus, the added characters really help drive in that this is serious. The movement pieces help drive in that concept of we need to be thinking outside the box. Not everything is as black and white as we think it is.
Mm-hmm. Which is very true to life.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the show is filled with all of these existential questions throughout the whole thing, you know, and Lucy Kirkwood has, I personally am in love with this woman's writing. I think she's super creative. I think she's a master at placing little treasures beneath the text, because I have just discovered all of these like really truly interesting, I mean, I can't think of another way to describe it, but just little treasures that once unearthed, it like opens up this whole idea of this deeper meaning of what the scene is there for, what it means to the show, what's really being said or what's really driving that moment. It's really, she's a fascinating playwright, and I'm anxious for people in the community and the students on campus to come see the show, because I feel like it touches on a lot of topics that we're dealing right now with mental health, with social media, with globalization, with faith, with, you know, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
My name is Lakin Hupp, and I'm studying Convergent Media at Morehead State University. I'm a student intern at Morehead State Public Radio. Thanks for listening to WMKY online, by phone app, smart speaker, or at 90.3 FM. Please support WMKY's fall membership drive going on now. Make your gift or pledge today online at WMKY.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Octavia Fleck and Christina Swanson. They're both working on Morehead State University's newest theatrical production called Mosquitoes. It's playing this weekend and next, Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Thanks again for being with me today.
Thank you for having us.
I wanted to touch on the technical aspect of this show. Christina, you're wearing a lot of different hats for this show. So tell me a little bit about, you said you're assistant costume designing. And so when is it set? When is the show arriving in time? Because sometimes you have a show that's like old fashioned and you put it forward, or a show that's current and we put it back. So what are we doing for this one?
Absolutely. So we're trying to traditionally set it during the build of the Collider, which is in 2008. So we're working very diligently to stay true to that era. But with costumes being a way to non-verbally communicate to the audience their part or their part in society or their element, we have decided to use pieces. So the cast is in all black. And then we add very strategic pieces of costuming, a scarf, a hat, skirt, a blouse, a pair of boxer shorts to convey what we feel is necessary at that moment for the character without just giving everything away. We like the concept of having a little bit of mystery and a little bit more thought-provoking element. And so with that, Octavia and I have decided to, you know, we want to show the costumes off, but we want to make sure we're paying attention to the actors because they are working so hard. And this is an extremely talky, heavy scripted show that we didn't want anything to pull from them listening, from the audience understanding what the characters are doing and what the actors are doing. And so we've added element pieces that are there to help guide you, but not tell a complete story. So you can listen more, you can pay more attention. And with that, we did the same thing with sound, where we added pieces in, but we are researching back to 2008, early 2000s, as I was graduating from Morehead State, of what kind of music was playing back then and introducing that, which has been so rewarding with the students because they have, you know, most of them weren't even born in 2000. And so they have no idea the music. And so they are experiencing it for the first time and enjoying it. And that just is so exciting for us because for me, I mean, that's the music I grew up with. That's the music I still listen to. Mm-hmm. But for them, it's a whole new genre. And so I really feel that Octavia has pushed us to educate the audience, to educate these students, to educate everyone on a heavy script, but also how elements from that time period are different. So an example would be, and this happened just a few days ago, we added tech in and one of the young technicians was like, why is she answering the phone and she's asking who's on it? And I had to explain that back then you didn't have caller ID. It just said call coming in.
Oh.
It was that, you know, genuine moment of just feeling old, but also, you know, educating and saying back then, that's what you did. You just picked the phone up because the phone rang and you didn't censor it. You just looked at it and you answered the phone and then you worked with whatever was on the other side of the line. So technically we are absolutely pushing that button of what happens in 2008.
And I would like to take a minute to talk a little bit about the set and the lights, because those, both the set designer and the light designer, are students here on campus doing their first designs.
Wow.
And that's been an exciting experience and a beautiful evolution. The show is in the round, so the set has this very cold steel circular concept that relates to the Collider and the CERN in Geneva. It also has a really interesting light design that I feel like she's done a great job doing a light design that, one, doesn't shine in your audience's eyes because we're in the round, and tightly focused on the center platforms that we're using in the show. And so Sarah Bowling and Merlin Hernandez have done a great job navigating how to bring to life a set and a light design, which, you know, they do those in classes, but to be able to realize those designs is, you know, that's a challenge. And there's a lot more work to it than I think, you know, most people realize. And so I want to just take a moment to sing their praises because I think they've done a great job.
And also they had that barrier because we really haven't had live performances in a minute.
It's been we're looking at 2 years. Mm-hmm. So since we've had an audience, now we did, you know, Chris and I did some fun summer theater stuff with children, with Lexington Children's Theater and Shooting Stars in the space over the summer. But, you know, our seating capacity is 100 to 130, and box office sales are,
They're booming.
Yeah, I'm super surprised about the number of tickets that we're selling right now. I mean, I'm very grateful and I'm excited, but it was just unexpected. But I think, you know, what we learned last year, you know, when we did Treasure Island and had not, you know, we were looking at going into a year of the pandemic and being shut down, the amount of responses that people had, you know, when they drove to see the show and sat in their cars to see the show, were so appreciative of the opportunity to see live theater. And it's just so refreshing to be reminded how much society misses, enjoys, and appreciates the arts. Mm-hmm. It's
amazing how many people in the community and on campus have reached out to say, we're so excited to be able to go back into the theater.
Yeah. I got an email today from an MSU theater graduate from 1969.
Wow.
That saw an article about the show and the first show that we're doing for 2 years and just wanted to congratulate me on producing something and to keep the department going strong. And I was shocked. I mean, how exciting is that from 1969? Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I follow so many friends that are professionals in the world and that still are out of work because live theater is not back full time yet. And they are just jealous, but excited to see the world coming back and the concept of live theater coming back. And I think that the theater department here on campus is doing such a good job of bringing culture back into the department and back into this community because that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had a designer run about our first designer run was about two or three weeks ago. And my assistant, Corinne Campagna, came in to watch the designer run with all of the designers. And she told me afterwards that she just sat there for the first 3 minutes and cried at the idea that she was sitting in our space watching a live performance and just, it's emotional. It's emotional to be in that environment.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And so, and I think there's an excitement, you know, I have to say though, this cast, I have one senior, the rest are freshmen and so, well, I have one senior, one junior, and the rest are freshmen and sophomores. Mm-hmm. And that's including the tech crew as well.
Wow.
This is such a young department right now. It's mind-boggling to me how, you know, we are, it's almost like we're having to start completely from scratch with our students in the department because we just lost such a big class the year of 20. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to build ourselves back up. But I am so impressed with the number of freshmen and sophomores that are doing and tackling these characters that are in the script and the choreography and the work of what it's like to do a show in the round, because that's not easy.
No, that's
there is no place. Yeah. There is no place to hide when you're doing a show in the round. And we have coat racks in the space. So they do their add-on pieces right there in front of the audience. I mean, it's a very immersive performance.
Absolutely.
Well, Mosquitoes by Lucy Kirkwood is playing this weekend and next weekend at the Lucille Caudill Little Theater. That's right here in Breckenridge Hall where I am, which is exciting. Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. Super excited to see that show. The tickets are, reservations are required. There are limited number of seats. Obviously, there's going to be some spreading out. So make sure you get in touch with the box office at 606-783-2170 or by emailing mtdboxoffice@moorheadstate.edu. Octavia, Christina, thank you so much for joining us here on Open Mic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.